Lord ever buy. Church of today.
Yeah.
Right. If we wait till tomorrow, we won't have a church.
Right.
We have got to implant the Word of God in them today.
Amen. Right.
Today. The Bible says today is the day.
Yeah.
Right. Of salvation. So why should we wait tomorrow?
Right.
To teach our children to live for God.
Right. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, I'm humbled by the responsibility that your pastor has given me in his absence to preach to you and to help him while he was gone. And I am very humble and appreciative of him entrusting me with this duty and this job, because it is a job, praise God. There is a watch that the watchman has to watch for, praise God. There's things that come against the church, praise God, that we have got to be aware of. The enemy knows your pastor's gone.
Yeah. Right.
Praise God. But I believe that there are some saints of God that's been praying, that have stepped up in duty and role, that said, Pastor, we got this. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I love your pastor and your pastor's family. Awesome and anointed. I'm telling you, we have the utmost respect for them, but I'm glad to see each and every one of y'all here. Praise the Lord. I see a bunch of guests. I don't call you visitors, because visitors come and go. Guests come and make themselves at home. Praise God. And that's what we want you to do, is come and make yourself at home this morning. I'm sorry you have to put up with me this morning and not the pastor. Praise the Lord. But I do feel that the Lord has given me a direction for this service. And I want to thank the service leader. You have to forgive me. I am terrible with names. But following after the Holy Ghost, he has confirmed many things in his exhorting. And following after the Holy Ghost, brother, thank you. Praise God. As a preacher and evangelist, you look for confirmation, whether it's in the music, in exhorting, testimony. You want to make sure. You see, we can be in the right direction, but on the wrong channel. Praise God. And I want to make sure I'm on the right channel and in the right direction.
Yeah, right.
Praise the Lord. But it's good to have everyone here again this morning. If you have your Bibles, I would like for us to turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Begin reading at verse number 44. Luke chapter 24. Begin reading at verse number 44. When you have it, say amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. This is Jesus Christ talking. Then open he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Because prior to this, they were not fully aware or understood that this was the true Messiah that the law of Moses was talking about. He himself, in verse 44, says that he had come to fulfill it, and it was fulfilled in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. And he begins to open up their understanding, that they can have a revelation and to understand the Scriptures that were fulfilled, and that what was standing in front of them. And Christ said unto them, thus it is written, and thus behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. And we all know that that name is the name of Jesus Christ. Christ, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But ye tarry, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from up on high. Now, if you're not quite sure what they're talking about, this is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that they must go to the city of Jerusalem and wait upon this promise, upon this outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. And the Bible says, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I want you to turn to John 11 and 18. John 11 and 18. The Bible says, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, which is about 2 miles. If you allow me to this morning, I want to preach to you this morning and take somewhat of my title out of verse number 50. But I want to talk to you about the journey to Pentecost. The journey to Pentecost. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ had led them as far as to Bethany. That was as far as he was going to take these individuals. And now from Bethany to Jerusalem was about a 2 miles journey to Pentecost. And I believe that this is for several individuals under the sound of my voice this morning. I want to preach to you towards the journey of Pentecost. Because it is a journey that each and every one of us we're going to have to take.
Right.
There is a journey that each and every one of us are going to have to put one foot in front of the other.
Right.
If we're going to make it to New Jerusalem.
Right. Amen.
Praise God. Can you lay your Bibles down and let's ask God's anointing for the remainder of this service. Lord, touch Jesus, our minds, our hearts, our understanding, God. As you did in those days, God. Open up our understanding, God, in this very service. Lord, speak to our hearts, our minds. Lord, let us see the revelation and the need, God, that we too must take this journey to Pentecost, to Jerusalem, Lord. I thank you for what I feel. I thank you for what you're going to do in this building, God. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, that's appropriate. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord this morning. Oh, let's thank you for what we feel in this household in this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's give God some honor this morning. Oh, thank God for praise. Oh, he said, let everything that I pray, praise you, the Lord. Came across a Chinese proverb that said that a 3,000 mile journey began with one step. And this step that the Lord Jesus Christ had implemented in the vision and in the mind of a prophet that would give us these writings in the book of Isaiah, saying that a sign would be given among us and to us, that this woman was going to give birth of a child, and his name would be called Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, which is being interpreted to God with us, and that the very job that he had been sent here to do, who was God manifested in the flesh, is to save his people from their sins. And this too was a journey for Christ. Christ in his ministry lasted about 3 years in his ministry, with nearly 33 miracles that Christ performed, and Christ had gone among His people. And we know that the Bible gives us an understanding in John 1 that the people, His very people, received Him not, even though they saw the miracles, they saw the wonders, they saw the signs that He spoke and performed in front of them and in their very eyes. But I don't want to take too much time on the front end of this thing. But I do want to emphasize that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled His part of the bargain. He fulfilled His journey to the place called Mount Calvary. He fulfilled the very journey which He, when He clothed Himself in flesh and took His first breath upon earth, was conceived in Mary, that day that Jesus Christ was born in the manger, that very day it was the beginning of a journey that Jesus Christ said, I cannot afford to stop, I cannot afford to back up, I cannot afford to quit, because I've got all of humanity riding upon my shoulders. I've got some people in 2017 of this day of April that's going to need me to have the fulfillment. There's going to be some people that's going to come along that's going to need me to endure the cross, that's going to need me to endure affliction and pain and take the bruising and the transgressions for their sins. I'm telling you, friend, I thank the Lord every day for Him making and fulfilling the journey to the cross, because without the cross I would not be saved today. Without the blood of Jesus that we shed for you and I cannot tell you what I would be this very morning. I'm telling you, friend, but it was because of the blood, it was because of the cross, it was because of the death, burial, and resurrection that I stand before you here today. Have called 10,000 angels to take His place. He could have went up back into heaven as He began to pray in that Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, where He prayed that 3-hour long prayer. He could have very well said, you know what? They don't deserve it. But there with love, friend, you got to have an understanding what this man Christ done for you and I. The pain, the infliction that He endured, and even on that cross with His very last breath, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The forgiveness and the concern about Christ, our God, our Savior. But now the cross is empty. The cross is laid to the side. The burial, the tomb is empty. Amen. And He stands before His disciples. He stands before a multitude. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:6 that 500 saw Christ that day. Even so, the disciples and the apostle Peter that day, 500 individuals saw the appearance of Jesus Christ. And Christ, with all the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as they begin to pen this for you and I, they begin to pen this story and this understanding that Christ was there and He was giving the people, the church, the day, in that hour, some strict instructions, which I believe are still implemented in today. I don't believe that someone I heard just the other day that began to just really aggravate me. And they were reading the Bible, and I begin to look at this Bible that this theologian said. He said that he doesn't believe that Pentecost is a continuing thing, a continuing experience. He doesn't doesn't believe that the commandments, because this is what it was a commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ to preach repentance, to preach the remission of sins in His name among all nations, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Friend, I'm telling you that this theologian, this person who began to pen this other Bible, he said in his comments that he doesn't believe that Pentecost has to take place each and every service. He believes that that was just a one-time deal. He doesn't believe that it takes a journey. It doesn't take all the nonsense and something in my spirit to begin to get disturbed, because I do believe that Pentecost is a continual experience. That's why I call myself, I am an apostolic Pentecostal, because I believe in the Pentecostal experience.
know Brother Brandon's location is right in the heart of Napa. And I'm telling you, friend, during pre-service, whatever you call it, choir service, practice, man, it was moving. It was popping. It was bumping. And then all of a sudden, this guy on his bike comes sitting up there looking. Man, he slams on brakes. He comes walking in and he sits down in the foyer and he's just listening and his ears are popping. And he said, man, he said, I was riding on my bike. And he said, when I passed, he said, something pulled me off my bike. I said, man, don't you stop. He said, I didn't stop on my own wheel. He said, my spike stopped. He said, I fell off my bike. And he said, when I looked it up, he said, there was a door. He said, I walked into the church and I sat down. And I said, friend, when you come to the right spot, he said, I've never felt what I feel in this place before. He said, I've been in a lot of places. He said, but this is something that I've never felt. He said, when the music was playing, he said, it felt like I could hear the mountain on the road. He said, I can't repeat whatever's in this place. It's alive. Whatever's in this building, it's true. He said, I'm not telling you, friend, I've been to a lot of dead churches.
Was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. In quotations, it says that this was about 2 miles. A 2 miles journey is all what Jerusalem was. A 2 miles journey is what the Lord had asked these witnesses, these people, these disciples to do. Friends, some of us can easily walk a 2 miles journey if we have it in our mind
to walk down to the local convenience store and get us an ice cold sweet tea. It won't be a problem for you and I to take this journey. But this journey, even though it wasn't so significant to the flesh and to the mind of man, and we can see the 2 miles, it really isn't that far. But for the spirit part of all of this, it was an eternity. I don't know what happened in between those 2 miles, because the Bible lets us know that when they got to Jerusalem, into the upper room where Jesus Christ had told them to go, friends, the Bible says that there was only 120.
My God.
A multitude that started this thing off. Mm-hmm. Friend, a multitude that saw the miracles, the signs, the wonders,
right,
all of everything that Christ had performed and done. They witnessed this. They saw Him alive after the resurrection.
Right.
They saw Him ascend into heaven, and they could not make it a 2 miles journey.
My God.
Friend, can you imagine what took place that day? When the 120 got there in Jerusalem and they looked back behind them and they saw a third of the multitude was not there. I don't know if it was the Pharisees or the Sadducees, are those the mockers, the accusers. I don't know what took place in this 2 mile journey. I don't know what someone said to convince possibly their family, their loved ones, that they don't need to take this journey. I don't know if it was the enemy playing tricks upon their minds, as some even hear under the sound of my voice, the enemy has done to you and said that you don't need to take this journey to Pentecost. There's some of you here today, you have been in war with your mind. There's been family members trying to convince you, trying to talk you out of what your heart and what the Spirit of God is drawing you to do. I'm telling you, friend, if you want to make it to heaven, you've got to take the journey to Pentecost. You've got to take the journey to get to New Jerusalem. Because Jesus Christ, He told Nicodemus, He said, you've got to be Lord of the water and of the Spirit to see New Jerusalem, to see heaven, to see what I have created for you. I'm telling you, friend, and it was in Jerusalem that was going to get them to heaven, because that's where the outpouring of the Holy Ghost took place. It didn't take place in Bethany. It didn't take place when Jesus Christ was on that mountain, but it was in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
If you want to make it, you've got to begin taking the steps towards Pentecost.
Yes, amen.
Friend, you have to experience a personal Pentecost in your life.
Yes,
that's right.
Hallelujah.
You've got to experience a prophet, a preacher, a pastor in your life telling you, as Peter told the multitude that was there that day, that you've got to repent of your sins. You've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You need a man of God to stand up square footed and tell you that's what it's going to take for you to get to heaven. There is no other way to get to New Jerusalem. I'm telling you, friend, the world offers so many different directions and so many different ways to get to heaven. But friend, I still believe in the straight and narrow that's going to take water baptism, that's going to take the blood being applied, that's going to take the name of Jesus. It's going to take the spiritual birth to get this thing going. I'm telling you, friend, it's not going to be any other way. You got to be born of water. You got to be born of the Spirit in the demons, or you will not enter. I see the kingdom of God. so many possessions that they do not want to take on this journey, this 2 mile journey to Jerusalem. Could it be that the burden was too much for them? Because when the Lord gave those commandments in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He charged His body. He charged the witnesses that were there to reach the lost. He charged them to save the lost. He charged them to preach the